Lovely to see the children out. I remember one Sunday, the Reverend Boyd wasn't feeling good, and he says, "Would you lead the service for me?" And when we told the children to go out to children's church, a lad ran down the aisle shouting yippee and punching the air, and I said to the congregation actually, I said, "You know, folks, I hope none of you do that when we finish up here." Maybe you do some Sundays. It's so good to be back here again and to see so many dear faces that I grew to love when I worked with Eddie here. In fact, I seen Eddie there at the Reverend Jonathan Boyd's ordination in Ballygolly and Ballyray Presbyterian Churches at Ballygolly the other Friday. And him and Jenny have got very skinny, the two of them, if you've seen them lately. But since I left Eddie those 5 years ago, I've been working as a freelance evangelist. I'm all over the place. As you probably know, I'm still in the Glens of Antrim. I still work round about Dunloy. I go down to Tomb Bridge. And by the way, if any of you fellas are builders and never have spare wood that you don't need, cuttings of wood, cuttings of ply, please tell me about that. I leave it down to Tomb to the men's shed. It's a form of witness that I have there amongst people. Family that I visit there, a Christian family who are having problems with a son who has got terrible problems with drugs and everything else. I work round by Dunloy as well. I visit people there. I visit people in Cushendall, Cushendun, all over the place. And then I go to Ballymoney as well, and I work one day down there in a drop-in centre and working with drug addicts, alcoholics, depressed people, and all sorts of different characters come into that shop there. Now, I find that very straining, that particular work. It seems to take a lot out of me for some peculiar reason, but I enjoy it. And it's a girl who runs the shop, whose sister's wedding I sang at over 43 years ago in Dunmanway in Cork, but that's too long a story at sermon time. I'm also chaplain to King's Court Nursing Home in Temple Patrick, where I do Bible studies on a Thursday amongst learning disability. I go to Knockleat House in Ballycastle. I teach Christian Endeavour. I preach in church services. If the minister takes sick, he's on the phone to me, and I have to do Kells and Escalane. But it's just wonderful that God has blessed in a very wonderful way this past 5 years. And Patricia and I indeed are very happy. We still do track work and things like that as well, and we really enjoy what the Lord has given us to do. I'm not as busy as I used to be. I get tired easier. I was just saying to James this morning, 2 years ago, I was in hospital 6 weeks, and at least they found I had a heart, and they put the M1 in, they put the M2 in, and the motorway from Antrim to Ballymena in, the Antrim line, 3 bypasses had to be fitted in there. I just couldn't get a breath at all, and they discovered that. So that was a wonderful opportunity too, to witness for Christ. But lovely to be back with you again, and may God bless us as we look at his word. We want to look, dear friends, at verses 26 and 27 of the verses that we read together. And we'll just read them out again, those verses. I'll read them in the version that you have here. And it says there in verse 26, "The mystery hidden from ages and generations, but now is revealed to the saints. To them God make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of his glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory." When I was a young Christian, I used to go to Emmanuel Missionary Conference over in Birkenhead. I went there with a friend of mine who went out to Spain with United Unevangelized Fields Missionary Society. And we had wonderful times at that. But I remember one year we man been there from South Africa called the Reverend Bertram Friend and his wife Olive. And I remember him very, very clearly preaching on this very text of scripture that I want us to look at today, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Paul here is speaking to the church in Colossae about this wonderful mystery of knowing the Lord Jesus Christ in a personal way. The reason why Paul is writing this letter is because this church, which he did not found himself, it was founded by people from the Ephesian church, but he's writing this letter because the people here are been annoyed by heretics and others that are trying to take away their liberty in the gospel. And this heresy is called Gnosticism. And one form of this heresy is essentially this, that all flesh is sinful, that God is essentially very holy. One is born from God who is not as holy as God. One is born from that one who is not as holy as that one. And if you can catch it, so on and so on until the Lord Jesus Christ is born. But that is, as we know today, heresy called Gnosticism or asceticism. We always talk about this word mystery. Some of you ladies go on a mystery tour and you don't know where you're going to end up. I was running about the house one day thinking it was a great mystery where my car keys was until I found them in my hand. Sometimes we walk about the house and we think, it's a terrible mystery what I have done with my glasses. In fact, somebody asked a person from the Guardian newspaper, asked an MP, what is a senior moment, he says, when the only sports left is searching for your glasses? Well, you know, friends, there are three things that I want us to look at here about this glorious mystery that Paul is speaking about. First of all, the mystery that was hidden. The mystery that was hidden. The mystery that is revealed. And the mystery that is received. And I want to ask you a question today, friends, in this church service. Is the mystery of the gospel still foolishness to you? Is it still a mystery to you? The joy that real believers know in the Lord Jesus Christ, knowing their sins forgiven, knowing that they have a home in heaven when they die, is this still a real mystery to you in your heart? But firstly, let us notice the mystery that is hidden. And it was hidden from those in the Old Testament. Paul says here, the mystery which hath been kept from ages and generation, but now is disclosed unto the saints. And he says something similar to this in Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 5, which was not made known to men in other generations, as is now being revealed by God's Spirit to his holy apostles and the prophets. This mystery of the gospel to the people in the Old Testament, it was a bit like us here in this dispensation. We now look for that wonderful day when the Lord will take us home to glory and we will see our Savior and see the loved ones that have gone on before us. But to us, as Paul says, it's like looking through a glass darkly. All right? To the people in the Old Testament, it was like a shadow of good things to come. Here's what Hebrews chapter 8 and verse 5 says. They serve at the sanctuary, which is a copy and a shadow of which is in heaven. Again, the writer to the Hebrews in Hebrews 10 and verse 1. The law is only a shadow of good things to come, not the reality themselves. It's only a shadow to the people in the Old Testament. Were the people in the Old Testament saved like we are through grace? Of course they were. They were saved when they brought the sacrifice of the little lamb. They were saved yearly when the high priest went with that bullock and killed it at the altar and brought his blood right into the holy place and the holiest of all and sprinkled the blood upon the mercy seat. But friends, what did all these things represent? What were all these shadows about, these pictures of what was to come? Of course, in the tabernacle that we thought about in Hebrews 8 and verse 5, they serve at the sanctuary. What was in that tabernacle that spoke of Christ? Well, of course, there was the brazen altar. The brazen altar which speaks to us of Calvary and the sacrifices that was made for the sins of the people. We have got the laver which speaks to us of the Word of God. John 17 and 17, Jesus said in his high priestly prayer, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. The table of showbread. Jesus said, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger. He that believeth in me, there shall never thirst. The candlestick. Christ cries out, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And of course, not only did they have those pictures, those shadows in the tabernacle, in the wilderness, and the great temples that they built there at Jerusalem, but also in the promises of God to them through Isaiah. Take for example Isaiah chapter 9 and verse 7, when he says, a virgin shall conceive and bring forth a son, and thou shalt call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. The promise of the Messiah, the promise of the anointed one. And of course we have Isaiah chapter 53. He is led like a lamb to the slaughter, his sheep before his shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. People came to God for mercy in the Old Testament. They were saved by grace alone. They were baptized in the Holy Ghost, just the way you and I are when they're converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. But what about these people, friends? What does the Bible tell us about them in Hebrews 11 and 13? All these died in faith. Notice that. Not having seen the promise, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and confessed they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. But you and I are strangers and pilgrims on the earth, aren't we? I don't know about you, but my heart's grieved with the filthy conversation of the wicked like Lot. I'm sick and tired of hearing about homosexuality. I'm sick and tired of hearing about homosexual marriage, which is against the laws of Almighty God and against the Word of God. I'm sick and tired of all these things, of hearing the Lord's name taken in vain by children and adults alike. It grieves our spirit. Friends, we are strangers and we're pilgrims here. We're looking for a city that hath foundations, whose builder and maker is God. That's where those people are today. They're with Christ, which is far better. But then, friends, I want you to notice, and just quickly, this gospel, this saving gospel, is hidden from the Jews. When you go to 2 Corinthians 3, verses 13 and 14 and 15, this is what it says about the Jewish people. But their minds were made dull, for to this day the same veil remains when the old covenant is read. It has not been removed, because only in Christ is it taken away. Even to this day, when Moses is read, a veil covers their heads. But when anyone turns to the Lord, that veil is taken away. Praise God for the messianic testimony. Praise God for the Hebrew scriptures. Praise God for those that are seeking to win God's people for the Lord Jesus Christ. Many Jews have been saved. Do you know what happens to a Jew when they get saved? The family get an empty coffin and bring it into the house and have a wake. And that's the person that has been saved into Christianity. They carry the coffin out and they bury that person. To them, the person that is saved from the Jewish religion is dead and gone, no longer part of that family. They're not interested in them. Oh, how we should pray for the Jewish people. But friends, I want to say this morning. The gospel is still a mystery to those that are unsaved. I wish I could carry you to Jesus. I wish I could carry my Roman Catholic friends in Dunloy, Lochgill, Corky, and all around those areas where I call and witness to them. And men that I was in hospital with, I still visit some of them and seek to win them for Christ. But the gospel remains hidden from those that are unconverted. And if you are not saved here this morning, why are you not saved? Why are you not saved? When you come to an evangelical church where the gospel is preached faithfully Sunday after Sunday, where you realize if you die in your sins, you're going to a Christless hell where God has forgotten to be merciful. There is no mercy in hell. Oh yes, there's a conscience in hell. And I can tell you this, you'll remember every opportunity you had to be saved in this earth. I was at a vintage rally yesterday with my old car, and asked the Lord before I went, and says, Lord, give me opportunities to witness to people. And I met this big lad from his wife's from Carnlough. I met her when I was down there, and I knew her mother, prayed with her mother. And I put my arm around the big lad. He's a big, tall fella. I was standing like this. And I said to him, I wish you were saved. I wish you and your wife were saved. He says, you know, Jonathan, I know these things. And you know you need to be saved, but what is keeping you back? What holds you from coming and improving upon your baptism? As the Higher Catechism says, remember your baptism as a child. The water is a symbol of the precious blood that can save. We're looking forward today that child will be converted. That does not save you. We're not a Roman Catholic church, friends. We don't believe in baptismal regeneration. But what holds you back? What holds you back? Listen to what the Bible says. If our gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. It is hid to those that are lost. You know, the things of the gospel are foolishness unto people out in that world. They think we're all nutters in here, standing praising Almighty God. Would you be anywhere else, brother and sister? I know I wouldn't. Whereas I love to worship Him. He is worthy of our praise. Why? Because one day God opened our eyes. One day God made us alive. I was speaking to somebody the other day and they were telling me that an unconverted girl has begun to attend church. You know what I said to her? I said, you know, Ephesians 2 and verse 1, and you has he made alive. This woman has been made alive that she attends unto the things that are spoken by the minister, just like Lydia of old. If her gospel of veil is a veil to them that are lost or perishing, the God of this age or this world is blinding the minds of them which believe not, lest they see the light of the gospel and the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. That's what's stopping you being saved today. Young person, if you're not converted, the devil has control of your life. Older person as well, child. It is Satan that will keep you back from Christ. It is Satan that will keep you back from heaven hereafter. Friends, you need to come today to Christ and be saved. It is not by your baptism, not by communion. The Bible says there's a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. You cannot be saved yourself. You've got to come to the cross. It is at the cross, where I first saw the light and the burden of my heart rolled away. There by faith I received my sight. And now I am happy all the day. But quickly, let us go to the second thought. The mystery revealed. You know, the mystery was revealed to God's people, wasn't it? But I can imagine what happened. When we read in John chapter 1 and verse 11, what does it say? He came unto his own, but his own received him not. Can you imagine if you went to a loved one that slammed the door in your face? I could think of nothing more hurtful. Nothing more hurtful. Of somebody that you thought loved you and just slams the door in your face. It's a terrible thing. But Jesus Christ came into this world as a Jew, and he went to his own people, the Jews, and what did they do? They said, away with him. We will not have this man to reign over us. Jesus cried out to them, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee as a hen doth gather her chicks, and you would not. Friends, Jesus cries out to the unsaved person today that's blinded, ye will not come to me that you might have life. You're closing the door on me. Jesus said, I want to come. And if you come to me, he says, I'll not cast you out. John 6 and 37. As many as received him, says verse 12, to them give he the right to be called the children of God, even to them that believe on his name. Then we had the incarnation of Christ, didn't he? Christ revealed, wasn't he revealed to Mary when Gabriel came to her and scared the life out of her? She's only a sinner like the rest of us. She needed to be saved. She says, I rejoice in God my Savior. I tell my Catholic friends that. She was a sinner. She needed Christ. When the angel appeared, she was afraid. And then remember Joseph. He was afraid. Gabriel revealed to him that this was Jesus. You shall call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. We're not ashamed of the old word saved, are we? And then, of course, we've got Jesus 8 days old. He was brought to the temple in the beautiful story in Luke 2, 29 to 39 of Simeon. And you remember how Simeon took the child in his arms and he said these words, and I love them. Now, Lord, let us thy servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen thy salvation. Jesus Christ was revealed to him in the temple and to Anna, that godly lady that lived. Yes, dear friends, we have the Lord Jesus Christ revealed, but secondly, the Lord Jesus revealed by his Holy Spirit. That man that was saved in Dunloy, what happened to him that I told the children about? Do you know what it was? The Holy Spirit came and made him alive. You know, there may be a dear one here today and you say, Jonathan, I've started to think that I too need to be converted. That's the Holy Spirit at work in your heart. I know I can't be saved through works. I know that nothing that I have done can ever bring me to Christ, but I'm just longing to be saved. Well, why don't you come? If Jesus is calling, why don't you come? The Holy Spirit, it says in John 16 and 8, when he comes, he will convict the world of guilt and regard to sin and righteousness and judgment. He will convict them of their sin. You remember when Peter preached in Acts chapter 2 and 37, it says this, and when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said unto Peter and the other apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do? Later Peter said, repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. It is the Holy Spirit that convicts, but remember, you can resist him. Here's what the writer of the Hebrews says in Hebrews 3, verse 7. Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost says, today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your heart. No one knows the day of our death. I remember a young man was to go to a Sami workman mission when I was just a child. His name was Joe Quinn. And Joe went to dance instead with a man I knew. And he fell out of the Land Rover and it ran over his head and he was in eternity in seconds. Not one of us can say we have another hour to live. Not one of us. But oh, my dear friends, when you're in Christ, it's absent from the body and present with Jesus. The night before, my heart surgery in the Royal Victoria, I couldn't, I wasn't as nervous. I was more nervous when I go to the dentist. That's the truth. Why was I not afraid? Why are you not afraid of death? Because God has taken away the fear of death, the sin, the strength of sin, which is the law. The law was your schoolmaster and brought you to Christ. I don't fear the law anymore. I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. Saved by grace alone. And it's also, let me tell you this, dear friends, Christ is revealed in the lives of his people. Amy Carmichael, when she was in India, the people actually said to her, Amy, show us the life of Jesus. Let us see Jesus. You know what it says in Galatians 1 and 16? To reveal his son in me that I may preach him. To reveal his son in me that I may preach him among the Gentiles. Friends, here's what it needs to be. The revealing of Christ in us, first of all, that we might preach him. Some people say to me, no, I go out and preach him and I try to show people Jesus through my life when I preach him. No, that's the wrong way around. You see, they said to the disciples, sirs, we would see Jesus. If people see Jesus in my life, if people see that I'm like him, if they see that I love him, if I go to the door of a Roman Catholic with no prejudice and I say, Jesus Christ loves you, and they sense that that person on the doorstep dearly loves them, they'll listen to what you have to say. Yes, friends, he's revealed in the lives of God's people. He's revealed to one another. It's easy to give a grand, thrilling testimony, but as an evangelist, the number of people that I deal with are put off because of that grumpiness and the nastiness of people that are meant to be Christians. It's unbelievable. You wouldn't believe it. I found that happened to me yesterday with a man I was witnessing to. Because of others, he wasn't converted. But lastly, friends, I know our time has just about gone, but I want us to ask, how then is this mystery received? Is Jesus Christ still a mystery to you? How can we have it? Well, it's not at baptism. Because as Titus 1 and 3 says, it is not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy hath he saved us by the washing of regeneration and by the renewing of the Holy Ghost. It's nothing to do with baptism or communion. It's not even to do with good works. Sure, Charles Wesley went out down to the mission field to work in America, and he came back. He was very down in the dumps, and he went to the Holy Club in Oxford and in London, and he sat there in Aldersgate, and you know what happened? As he sat there, he said these words, I felt my heart strangely warmed. I felt I did trust in Christ, even in Christ for salvation. And there was an assurance given me on that day. Oh, glory to God. My dear friend, you need to be saved. And it's not through anything you do. It's only through faith. The Bible says in Ephesians 2, verses you know off by heart. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. It is not of works. Let me thump that into it. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Any wonder Paul said in Philippians 3 and 9, and be found in him not having my righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness of God, which is by faith alone. A Roman Catholic lady in the Glens many years ago said to me, Jonathan, I try to keep the commandments. And I says, Helena, that's no good. She says, why is that? Well, I says, Romans chapter 10, 3 and 4. But I'm only going to quote 4 because of time. You know what verse 4 says? For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. Oh, my dear friends, isn't it wonderful to be at rest in Christ? Seated with him in heavenly places, and our sins are forgiven. We're sure of heaven if we're already in it. Glory to God, we can go to bed at night and waking up in the morning. And, you know, as a man said one time, go to bed at night, waking up dead in the morning. But if you're saved, you're not waking up dead. You'll be more alive than you are on this earth. We'll be with Christ, which is far better. It is by faith we're saved. Faith in the finished work of Calvary. Jesus said it's finished. Nothing else will do. Christ give his life because he loves us. You know, friends, the mystery is hidden. I hope today that Christ is being revealed to you. The mystery received by faith alone, in Christ alone, by grace alone. Oh, will you trust him? I'm going to close with the words of a great old hymn, and here's what it says. I heard the voice of Jesus say, come unto me and rest, Lay down thy weary one, lay down thy head upon my breast. I came to Jesus as I was, weary, worn, and sad. I found in him a resting place, and he has made me glad. Isn't it wonderful to be his? Let us bow in a moment of prayer. Our gracious God, we just want to tell you today that we love you, Father. Thank you for sending Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you came. Holy Spirit, won't you teach me more about that wonderful, precious, and lovely name? Oh God, I pray for those still outside of thee that you'll reveal yourself to them by your Spirit, that they'll neither be able to eat nor drink until they find Christ. Those of us that love you, that we will reveal you to those in a dying world, for Jesus' sake. Amen.